Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two of our broadcast, and we were talking with Joe before the break. And Joe, I'll give you about a minute. I knew you couldn't do that in 30 seconds before. So what was your thought?
Well, God bless you, brother, and thank you for giving me a chance. And I hope that God forgive me if my perception has been wrong. But I've been a Christian for well over 40 years. And anyway, I've noticed about the hypocrisy and all that. But I came across a book that was published first in 1912. And it's called Baptist Beliefs. And it's a small book. It's only like 93 pages long, and it's big type and well-spaced. So it's easy to read. Well, anyway, the guy who wrote it, he was the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary for at least 28 years. And but what he says in there about salvation and what he teaches in there and explains about it is not what I've heard at any Baptist church I've been in.
So what did he say exactly?
Well, it's not the push-button Christianity that I perceive as being preached for so long, that Charles Stanley preaches, that so many preach. You'll have to. I can't tell you. You know.
Why don't we just encourage people, if they're interested, to check out this book? It's a 1912 book, Baptist Beliefs. If you're interested, you can check that out and find out that way. Is it only 93 pages? Let's go out to Rick in Duncan. Good morning, Rick.
Hey Vince, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I want to get back on a couple comments on the Mueller report.
Yes.
You know, a couple things that come out that are kind of surprising to me, and that you certainly know that Don McGahn's not going to be getting any Christmas cards from Donald Trump anymore. And I did not know, and this is why the report is so good, how close we came to, I guess, another constitutional crisis with a Saturday night massacre type thing where Trump's trying to take out Mueller, and right after he took out Comey. And, you know, we all know that Trump lies a lot, but I really did not believe that he was going to try to do that a second time. And now we find out that, you know, McGahn was going to quit, and a couple of the guys went to see him and said, hang in there, and then Trump dropped it. But the one thing overall, I don't know if you looked at the report and kind of went through it a bit, actually, the actual file. But, you know, the last half of it, Mueller goes through these multiple cases of what could be claimed as obstruction of justice, where the McGahn was one of the cases spelled out in the last, I don't know, 180-some pages. But the one thing that Mueller never answered, and I think it's still open with this president and the next president, is that can a sitting president be charged with obstruction of justice? Or are we at the risk of this happening again with a president that goes off the rails, a Republican or a Democrat, and begins trying to shut down investigations into things that clearly need to be looked into? And that was very disappointing that question remains open, never went to the Supreme Court after all this time, and it's open again.
Well, and I would suggest that based on where the Democrats are going here, Rick, it's possible we may see a test of this because the Democrats, they're still on this thing. In fact, why don't we go into this now? Because this is kind of entertaining. And I'll tell you it's entertaining for a variety of reasons. First, we have Steny Hoyer, who's the majority leader in the House. He said Thursday, it's not worthwhile for the Democrat Party to try to impeach the president. They want to get off this thing. Based on what we've seen to date, he says, going forward on impeachment is not worthwhile. Very frankly, there's an election in 18 months, and the American people will make a judgment. I think this is where the leadership wants to be. But you've got others. Others within the ranks who are not pleased with this at all. And they really, really want to press ahead with the idea of impeachment. One of those people who at least wants to do some further investigation, Jerry Nadler, announcing he's going to subpoena Special Counsel Robert Mueller's entire unredacted report. That's what he's looking for. We need the entire report, he says, unredacted, and the underlying documents in order to make informed decisions. And after we get that, and we will subpoena that entire report, that subpoena will come in the next couple of hours, including the grand jury evidence. This is what Gerald Nadler communicated today. And we have none other than Adam Schiff, who is also on this. Adam Schiff, who is pretty much saying the same thing that these other Democrats are saying, that they want more information. And for what purpose? What is the purpose behind it? Because they're hoping to find something. Remember, I told you this yesterday. The strands they're going to pull, they've gotten off of the collusion thing. You know, that's gone. That's history. What they want to try to pull the strands on are any inklings of the possibility of obstruction of justice. This is all they've got. This is all they've got to work with. And this one, which I think is absolutely hilarious, James Clapper. Remember the guy who said the Muslim Brotherhood was a secular organization? I mean, this guy is really a piece of work. Get a load of this. Former director of National Intelligence. Just meditate on that for a moment. National Intelligence. On Thursday, he said there was passive collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. Have you ever heard such nonsense? What is passive collusion? Clapper began by defending the foundation of the Russian probe, telling CNN anchor Anderson Cooper, there was good reason for intelligence agencies and law enforcement to be concerned about whether or not there was some kind of conspiracy between the Trump campaign and the Russians. My goodness. Blasting President Trump for claiming President Obama did nothing to prevent Russia's interference during the 2016 election, saying his former boss directly confronted Putin and asked him to stop the interference. Oh, I'm sure. That was really effective, wasn't it? You listen here, Vladimir Putin. You stop what you're doing. My goodness. He claimed that Russia's social media campaign turned the election in Trump's favor and targeted states like Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, adding the Mueller report substantiates that. This is hilarious, folks. It really is. And they're going to get more hysterical because they're desperate. They've got to find something. How desperate are they? Well, Babylon Bee had a lot of fun with this. We're going to share what they have posted and much more as we continue our Friday broadcast. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program. Vince, passive collusion sounds like compassionate conservatism. That's pretty good. Passive collusion. Not doing crap about some crap that you didn't know crap about to begin with. That's Jim out of Easley. Oh, my goodness. It is absolutely incredible. Babylon Bee. You've got to hear this one. This is a winner. For those of you who don't know, I've got to tell you because inevitably, somebody will think this is a real story and they'll react to it. You should see every time I post one of these on my Facebook page, I get people responding as if it's a real story. It's a parody site, people, okay? It's a parody site. Here's one they put out yesterday. CNN, God allowed the Mueller report to test our unshakable faith in collusion. Anchors at CNN headquarters have made a bold statement of unwavering faith after the Mueller report revealed no actual evidence that Trump colluded with Russia. Jim Acosta said, we believe in collusion with all our hearts and will never let the world's teachings get in the way of that. If God allowed this report to be written the manner that it was, he did so to test our unshakable faith in what we know to be true, said Anderson Cooper. We believe in the one true Russian collusion, the one that was spoken into truth and made real far before any evidence was brought before this dark world, added Natalie Allen. All of the anchors began to speak in unison, reciting their statement of faith, with eye closed and hands raised. We believe the true Mueller report, regardless of the one released by men. We believe there is collusion, eternally existent in the person of Trump and the country of Russia. We believe in the infallibility of the media, sinless, miraculous. We will redeem mankind. I love this. We believe that for the salvation of lost and sinful man, collusion is absolutely essential. We believe in the collusion of Trump and Russia. All statement and evidence that purports to contradict that truth are lies of the dark Lord. Forever and ever, amen. The anchors then began speaking in tongues and weeping while tearing at their garments. Reporters fled after Acosta got out the poisonous snakes. Isn't this great? Babylon B. Absolutely cool stuff here. Cecil and Charlotte, good morning.
Vince?
Yes, sir.
Got a couple of thoughts for you. In the, when God wanted to get his message out to the Gentiles, excuse me, he chose the worst of the worst to do that, Paul. Paul was not accepted by the religious leaders nor the disciples, but he was who God chose for that. Trump brought a lot of baggage to that position he's in as president. But I tell you what, there has not been a president during my lifetime that has praised God to everyone as much as he has. Now, whether he's had some insight from those people around him or not, I don't know. I'm not there to judge it. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Appreciate your call there, Cecil. Thanks very much for calling. Let's talk about presidential candidates. Starting in the upstate, well, actually all of South Carolina. Visiting South Carolina again, Kamala Harris. In fact, she's leading in the money department. Made her fourth visit to South Carolina, doing a town hall at Winthrop in Rock Hill. She will attend Easter Sunday services at a church in Columbia. She's raised at least $25,000 from South Carolina donors in the first 3 months of the year, more than any other 2020 Democratic candidate in the state. Her closest competitor, the South Bend, Indiana mayor, Pete Buttigieg, who raised over $18,000 in South Carolina. Bernie Sanders at $12,000. Beto O'Rourke coming in at $14,000. All the other contenders raised $5,000 or less. Are you excited? Joe Biden is apparently going to officially launch his campaign for president next Wednesday with a video announcement. The video will use footage shot 2 weeks ago outside his old family home in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Roots he's often pointed to show his understanding of working class struggles in America. Next Wednesday is the big day, so mark that on your calendar. I'm sure many of you will want to celebrate on that particular day. Isn't it wonderful? Let's take a look at the day in history before we delve into some odd stories as well. Go down to our upstate studio in Greenville, and Lonzo, who is back with us. Good morning, Lonzo. How are you doing, man?
You call me Lonzo.
Oh, did I accidentally? Sorry about that. A slip of a tongue. I got to remember that one. You should have never, ever brought that to my attention. Now I'm gonna have to do that as a habit. I'm kidding. Doing okay today, man?
I am. That's a new one, though.
That is a good one. Let's start with our list of five questions beginning in 1778. This revolution started with fighting breaking out in Lexington, Massachusetts. What was this revolution?
The American Revolution?
You are correct. 1897, the world's oldest annually run marathon started in 1897 in this city. Which marathon is it?
See, this makes me want to go with the one that just happened, and I'm
why not?
Okay, Boston.
It's Boston, the Boston Marathon, 1933. A lot of people say this is one of the worst things we've ever done in regard to our currency. What did we do in 1933?
Went off the gold standard.
Yes, we did. 1933. 1993, very unfortunate day in Waco. What happened in Waco, Texas on this day in 1993?
Branch Davidian compound got burnt out?
Yes. Showdown between Branch Davidians and the FBI came to a horrible ending. And because there is a connection here, 1995, what else happened on this particular day, unfortunately ending the lives of 168 people?
David Koresh had them drink something.
No, actually, this is another event that occurred.
Oh,
in fact, he cited the
I'm
Waco
sorry.
Event as a
Wrong
reason
guy.
For what he did.
Wrong
what
guy.
Was the event in
Jim
19...
Jones.
No, that was earlier.
A different guy. God, you know what? I've got all my serial killers mixed up. Who
Any
is
guesses
it?
Here in
I
studio?
No idea.
What? I don't know.
The Oklahoma City bombing.
You're kidding.
Oh, the bombing. Yeah.
See, you made it act like it was...
And friends.
Sorry about that.
It's completely different.
I did not mean to mislead you, but
I think you did.
The those who took part in that, part of the reason behind it was Waco. They were ticked off by the way the United States government conducted that. So now we've got crazy story time. Are you ready for crazy stories?
We're always what? Ready for crazy stories with Vince.
A woman in the New Orleans area. Boy, she really was ticked off at her ex-boyfriend. She was arrested, booked with aggravated battery. Here's the reason. They started drinking, and at some point, the victim told police that what happened was he told this woman he wanted to date someone else.
Uh-oh.
Not a good move, huh? So he went to sleep. He woke up the next morning with a large cut on his head, with dripping with blood. You know what else she did? She took the victim's prosthetic leg and beat him with it.
You know, there's nothing you can add to that. There's nothing.
But wait, there's more. We'll talk about it coming up. Hey, have you ever checked out some of these podcasts we have on WBT? WBT, the podcast, Off the Beat with Brett Jensen. Everything's Going to Be All Right with Sean Spicer and Katie Pavlich. You can check these out. Just listen to WBT anytime, anywhere on the radio.com app. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, did you hear the possible cause for this fire? The Notre Dame fire? A computer glitch may have been behind the fast-spreading fire. Architects and construction workers tried to figure out how to stabilize the damaged structure and protect it from the elements. Fire burned through the lattice of enormous oak beams supporting the monument's vaulted stone ceiling, dangerously weakening the building. They've not elaborated on the exact nature of the glitch, adding they may find out what happened in 2 or 3 months. On Thursday, Paris police investigators said they think an electrical short circuit most likely caused this fire. Over on the text line. What are the odds liberals will say they've read the whole Mueller report in a day and a half? Yeah. Vince, Joe Biden's announcement had to be done by video to edit the gaffes. What was supposed to be an 8-minute speech ends up a 45-second word. Salad. Okay. It's official now. The only way the Democrats can win an election is by impeaching. Just keeping it simple. Still wouldn't win after that. Welcome, President Pence. Vince, is not collusion the way Congress works every day and their so-called concern for the citizen? Yeah, it's pretty sad. Just some of the items here on the text line. I told you we had some other interesting stories. And actually, this is actually a cool story. I came across this one. It is about a dog that was believed to have been deceased. but was indeed alive. Very appropriate on this Easter weekend. This dog's name is Dick, D-I-K, 18 years old. Have you ever had a beloved pet, Lonzo? Do you have a dog or cat?
I do have a dog. I've had dogs that have passed away before.
Pretty sad event, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Get a load of this story. And I'm sure you can imagine what this would have been like if you had experienced such a thing. Because I know this would be quite a shocker. 18-year-old dog buried by his heartbroken owners, assuming he was dead. Well, here's what happened. The dog was actually buried after his owners thought he was dead. And he managed to dig himself out of the grave and make his way home. The dog was discovered motionless on his blanket at his home in a Russian village. The heartbroken owners, two elderly sisters, they weren't able to wake the dog. Due to his age, they assumed the dog was dead. They gathered together to give him a funeral at a pet ceremony in the village. But guess what? The dog woke up shortly after being buried and managed to claw his way out of his shallow grave and run to safety. Ended up at the side of a nearby motorway where passersby spotted the exhausted dog. They scooped him up and they took him to a pet shelter. The owners spotted the pictures, went to the pet shelter to take him home. The head of the shelter said fortunately they buried him not deep underground. He managed to get to the surface after regaining consciousness. His owners, those two elderly sisters, they went to take him home and they just cried. In fact, now because of this, some are referring to this particular area as a pet cemetery.
See, that's what I was thinking the entire time. There's no way I'm taking that dog back. I'm sorry. I am sorry. I've seen the movie, I've seen the remake, read the book. No, thank you.
What is the phrase from the movie? Sometimes dead is better. But this is a cool story. Don't you think you wouldn't take the dog? You'd be skeptical?
I don't know. Here's what I would do. I would go back to the grave and check and see if my dog was still in the grave.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Okay. Fair enough. All right. Lonzo, it's been real. You want to preview Upstate Pulse for the weekend, by the way?
Yeah, we're just talking video games and movies, usual stuff.
What's hot with movies these days?
Well, you know what's coming up next week.
What's that?
Avengers Endgame.
Uh-oh, look
out. Tickets have been selling out all over the place a couple of weeks ago. So,
Avengers Endgame, okay.
Yeah, if you have to question what it is, I just don't
know. I'm out in left field on this one because I'm one of those people.
Hey, Lonzo, I had a question. Do you hold out for the 3D or do you do the regular?
Normally, I go to IMAX,
because
of assigned seating. Uh-huh. But the theater that I go to now, all seats are assigned. So, yeah. I mean, when you get older, you got to pee a lot. So.
Oh, heck yeah, man. Yeah. I'm with you.
Thanks for that, Lonzo. Thanks for sharing. I appreciate that.
Not a problem. Happy Easter.
Same to you, man. That is absolutely hilarious. Let us go out to a call from Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, Vince, I thought you let off this morning talking about McCready and returning his donation to Omar.
Yes, $2,000 donation.
I have a couple of comments about that. But my first question, Vince, are you going to be moderating or asking questions to the District 9 Republican debaters?
I will be there, yes.
Right, so you're going to be actually asking some questions?
Live and in person.
Well, I would hope that you would consider the question for those candidates if they were to win and be in a debate with McCready, and I'm going to assume that McCready would accept the debate from whichever one of them wins, that they would ask McCready what he means by country first. And so try to pin him down about what that means. Because, Vince, I'm an independent. I've been an independent now since Hillary's primary with Obama back in 08. So I could vote for her. I knew what she was. I have no idea who Obama is, and I still don't. But, Vince, if he's true about country first, you know, and he could get specific about it, I'd vote for him.
Okay.
unless the debate of all these people running in nine on the R side can tell me specifically what they're going to do to promote America and put America first, and that can be in liberty, freedom, limited government, giving us our education back, any of those things.
All right.
But I think the first thing I would do in a debate with McCready is say, you've been talking about country first. You haven't said much about anything else. What do you mean by country
first? You got to define it. And, you know, I think we've had this discussion before. Appreciate your call, Jim, about how Mr. McCready's been very, very hard to pin down as to what his real views and perspectives are. I think he has tried to, in some way, position himself as somewhat conservative, and I would put that in quotes. So he's trying to come across as not one of these crazy left-wing liberal nuts. I think that's part of the idea behind it. A story I want to remind you about as well. We told you some days ago about an effort that's underway to try to undermine protests at abortion clinics, a clinic in Charlotte. Coming up, going to tell you about what's going on with that, a very important update. And I'm going to shock you because I'm going to tell you about a T-shirt that you may very well want. Yes, the letters will surprise you. That's coming up. I'm going to bet some of you after this broadcast, you're going to try to track down some LGBTQ T-shirts. I'm serious. I'm not making this up. I'm going to tell you why that may be the case coming up. I want to tell you about a very important proposed noise ordinance here in the city of Charlotte. This is a battle going on between an abortion clinic and protesters. Charlotte City Council's Neighborhood Development Committee approved an update Wednesday to the city's noise ordinance policy. This would actually create a 200-foot buffer around medical facilities, houses of worship, and schools. Within this buffer, amplified sound is prohibited, as is unreasonably loud noise. This policy still has to be approved by the full city council. You know what this is about, as well as I do. Pro-life activists who often set up shop outside of a preferred women's health center in East Charlotte say the ordinance actually infringes on their right to free speech. And if it passes, it's likely to be challenged in court. He said his group, Daniel Parks, executive director of Cities for Life, regular protests outside the clinic, seeks to offer abortion alternatives to the women who go to the clinic. They're concerned. That's exactly what this is. So keep your eyes on what the city council does. They will have to make the final decision. And hopefully they will choose correctly and not try to infringe on people's rights. It would be quite unfortunate if that is the case. I've got to tell you about some interesting T-shirts before we go to some of your calls. Remember I told you at the beginning of this broadcast? You may very well be interested in LGBTQ T-shirts. And where does this story emanate? And I'll bet this is in Thomas Massey's district. Williamstown, Kentucky. Northern Kentucky barbecue food truck is getting a lot of heat after advertising its T-shirts on social media. Bell's Smoking Barbecue took a play on the acronym LGBTQ and changed it to Liberty, Guns, Bible, Trump, and Barbecue.
Yeah.
So how do you think this is being received by some people in the community? Do you want to take a guess?
Do they take debit card?
Oh my goodness. How do you think some people are reacting to
love
this?
Love it or hate it, I'm supposing.
Yes. Some are actually calling the message insensitive and hateful. John is like, what?
I need a double XL.
Oh, my goodness. Bell's Smoking Barbecue is based in Williamstown, but the owner, Jamie Smith, has been traveling all over the state, taking his food to crowds for 3 years. Now it's his merchandise that's overshadowing the smoked meats. He started selling these t-shirts nearly 2 years ago. He said, I found the acronym on Facebook and I just added the Q. He sold about 100 so far, but he started to advertise on Facebook to get more sales, and it's just blown up, completely blown up. The message he posted on Facebook stated, we're going to stock up on some swag, hat and shirts. Let me know what you want via text message. We're going to have our traditional Bell's shirts, trucker hats. We'll also have our LGBTQ shirts, as well as Bell's logo on the back. The post quickly went viral with many people sending messages their own like simple bigotry, sad commentary for business, good luck going broke. Really?
No publicity is bad publicity.
They're
loving it. They're loving it. Just, well, think about the word gay, which used to basically mean happy or joyous
exactly.
or celebrational, and it's not so much now.
Now it's totally different. There are actually people complaining this is offensive, and they're not going to buy the barbecue just because of that.
More for us.
Yeah, exactly. More for us. Let's go out to a couple of quick calls before we end the broadcast. Steve, Indian Trail, good morning.
Yeah, Vince, you lived with a guy in Kentucky at one time in your life.
Keep going.
Pardon me? Do you hear me okay?
Keep going.
Okay, well, I met this gentleman. He has a short, funny name, and I met him at my new favorite winery, the Trump Winery in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Okay.
And he overheard me having a conversation with some other people, and he come up and asked me, he said, do you listen to that black radio host down in Charlotte? I said, I sure do. And he went on to tell me how he knew you, and it was quite a conversation. So
that is too funny.
Next time I called you, I would bring that subject up.
That is too funny. Do you remember who the person was exactly? Well, you can.
It was like Oogie or something like that.
Oh, Ogden. Ogden. Yes. Yes. Friends of mine from years ago in Kentucky. That is absolutely. This is a small world. I cannot believe that. Yes.
That is too
cool.
It's my new favorite winery, the Trump Winery.
That is amazing. Well, thanks very much for your call. That is cool. And you know what's interesting? I shared a post from this family some time ago. Unfortunately, Oogie is the guy's nickname. His son went to school with me years ago. Unfortunately, his wife died. I shared a wonderful testimony that they posted about her. Great family. You guys, enjoy your Good Friday, your Resurrection Sunday, and Lord willing, we'll be back with you on Monday. Have a great weekend, and God bless you. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.